From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back. It's a brand new week here on Locked On Chiefs. Glad you guys are with us. And it's that period of time where we have a lot to talk about in preparation for training camp. Hope you guys had a good weekend. I'm Ryan, the founder of Rogue Analytics and the guy over at RGR Football on YouTube. Check that out if you haven't yet.
And I am Chris. I'm the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. Thank you all for listening, and thank you for all the new iTunes reviews. We do appreciate those, and we will get back to those soon.
Yeah, and I've seen some missed phone calls on the voicemail line, but haven't gotten too many voicemails. So if you guys have something you'd like to have us answer on the show, you have a question or whatever, hit that number at 913-777-4457 and let us know what you think.
Well, there is not a ton of news to talk about for today's show, but we do have one little piece of information.
Oh, yeah. What was that? Something you saw, right?
Yeah, it looks like Gil Brandt, and if you don't know who Gil Brandt is, you need to go Google him. He does a fantastic job covering the NFL. I believe he's done it now for 40 years, if not 50. Highly, highly respected opinion in the NFL, and he wrote a story that covered all 32 teams and picked a person to make the Pro Bowl from each team for the first time in their career.
That's an interesting concept, and Gil's been around the league forever. Long time with the Cowboys organization. They call him the Godfather for a reason. He's been there in this league going on, what, I think 45 years, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, so basically just about as long as you are old.
Thanks, buddy. Yep, that's the way that works. So what interested you and what did he have to say about the Chiefs? I didn't see it.
Well, I thought the article was a fantastic idea to begin with. I'll let you throw out a couple names of who you think he might have gone and picked.
I would think either Mahomes or Tyreek Hill would probably be the ones that are going to stand out.
Well, but these are guys that haven't made the Pro Bowl before.
Oh, okay. That was the prerequisite. Kelsey's made it. Fuller, maybe?
Nope.
Or is it offensive only?
Well, no, this was both offense and defense, but this was an offensive player.
Okay. And Hunt made it. So who's left on the offense? That's pretty much Sammy Watkins, right?
Bingo.
Okay.
And that's a very interesting pick for me because it's going to be very hard for the Chiefs to place three offensive skill position players. Well, four if you count Hunt in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, that'll be impressive. You know, this is a team that a lot of the talking heads on media think is in a complete rebuild, basically. New quarterback and all the changes that have gone on defense. But you got to remember, even with a line that was kind of patched together last season, you ended up with Kareem Hunt being one of the best rushers in the league. And everything that Alex Smith was able to do, we think, in terms of moving the ball, Pat Mahomes is going to be able to do. Are there going to be more interceptions? Sure. But that is part of the process. You still feel like yardage-wise and probably touchdown-wise, he's going to be able to get close, hopefully. And if that happens, then there's room for Sammy Watkins to have a Pro Bowl year.
Yeah, but that's a big step from having two wide receivers, a tight end, and a running back. I'm not saying it's impossible, but man, that'd be quite the offense.
It would. And let's say that it's a hope that the Chiefs have to have that if they can pull that off and distributing the ball to three pass catchers and a running back, that's something that's going to make Pat Mahomes an outside chance as well. If any of what we've seen from this offseason has made us a little over anxious, I don't know. But if any of that is true, you could be looking at an offense that places a number of people in the Pro Bowl.
And what a number that would be. Just throwing that out there. Honestly, in all fairness, I think that as long as Kelsey has another year like he did last year, I think he makes the Pro Bowl. To be honest, I think this is going to be Watkins' chance to make the Pro Bowl, but I think he might steal Tyreek's ability to make the Pro Bowl.
And that is a tough thing. When you think about back in the Philly days with Macklin and Deshaun, if I remember correctly, they both made it at least once or twice, but I don't think it was the same year. And distributing the ball is going to have a tendency to knock some totals down in terms of yardage, in terms of touchdown totals. So you're right. That may be sacrificing one for the other. I find it hard to believe that they're going to be so rampant on offense that they're going to be able to feed all three of those pass catchers enough. But hey, if they do, it means they have to have gone a little bit farther than they did before. Oh, he said it out loud.
Hey, if they play those three pass catchers in the Pro Bowl, I would say that they should have the ability to.
Yeah, the only way they make it there is probably, you're right, if they're all producing, you know, what, 6-8 touchdowns apiece, if not more. I mean,
and that's not, and
we talked about this.
And we haven't even talked about Conley yet.
Right, right. And I still feel nothing's changed for me that I think he's going to probably have his best season as a professional. Not only is it a contract year, but playing with a quarterback that can take more chances, that can squeeze the ball into places because of the velocity he can bring to the game. I think that's a boon for Conley's production, but again, that's one more mouth to feed, spreading it out. And we talked earlier in the offseason, not long after the Super Bowl, if I remember correctly. I want to say it was around show 350 or something like that.
Wait a second. I just have to throw this out there. You said show 350, which means we're coming up on what number pretty soon?
Yeah, man, we're getting there. We're in the 460s now. We will hit our 500th episode during training camp. It's going to be interesting. So that's kind of an accomplishment that I'm ticking down the mark to, because I don't know of another podcast that I've ever listened to, football or non-football, that's ever hit that mark. So I'm kind of enjoying that one.
But yeah, that's a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, right. But when we did talk about it, what we were theorizing about, okay, so what kind of touchdown totals could these guys see with Pat Mahomes? And I think, if I remember right, we arrived on somewhere between 6 and 8 for all three of them, right? But that's 24 touchdowns total. And you figure another couple, maybe to Conley, another couple to Hunt. So are we really talking about Pat Mahomes throwing 30 touchdowns his first season as a starter?
Well, you're not going to give any to Demetrius Harris?
No.
Or the sausage?
I would love to see it. I'm not going to predict that, though.
Yeah, I know you would love to see it. Honestly, it really just depends on Reed and his system. How does he open up the offense? What is he really trying to attack, and what is he trying to get done? I think it's possible Mahomes throws 30 TDs. It's just a question of whether or not Reed opens it up that much.
Man, if he does, if Mahomes throws 30 plus touchdowns, this team is going to be in a position, even with a defense that is, 50% rebuilt, they're going to be in a position to win a lot of games. And right now, I still feel like it's somewhere between 7-9, 9-7. That would push me towards almost 10 wins, maybe.
Yeah, if he throws 30 touchdowns, there's going to be a lot of people just going off the deep end. So
yeah,
we will see how that ends up. But, one thing, and I did see this from our buddy Seth Kaiser. He had a couple of tweets this weekend about how he's seen several people thinking that Reed doesn't know if Mahomes is going to be ready for this gig. And I have to agree with what his analysis was. And at the very end of the day, it's, you don't trade away Alex Smith if you don't think Mahomes is going to be your guy in 18. Mm-hmm. and be doing well in the offense. Now, doing well for Mahomes and doing well for Alex Smith are two different things. So time will tell, and we'll have to see, but lots of questions.
And that's a fair point. Let's take a quick break, And then we were going to talk about our topic of the day was the defensive line. So we'll come back and do that here now that we've covered the offense. So this group of D linemen is another area that's ongoing change, getting kind of a facelift, getting more athletic, it feels like overall. And they are kind of the complement to what I talked about on this week's RGR football video, which was about the pass rush, specifically the outside guys, but taking into account that with a talent like Chris Jones, who can line up outside in a wide end type technique, but makes a lot of hay inside as well. They have guys now that with Williams, who's kind of a penetrator, with Jones. I don't know that Derek Nottie is going to give you a whole lot of pass rush. I don't expect it. Jarvis is even able to pull that. I'm sorry. Jenkins has always been able to pull off a little bit, but overall, how do you feel about what this D line can do against the pass?
To me, that's the million-dollar question. I'm not sure what to expect. Chris Jones, you know, is going to push the pockets. Jarvis Jenkins, like you said, is going to be okay, but you really don't know what you're going to have with Nottie. And I know you didn't mention this guy, but I do think he's going to get some D-line snaps and speaks in certain situations. So I do think that needs to be at least discussed. I know he's not going to be D-lineman generally, but I do think he'll line up there.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I liked him, especially when he was first drafted. I still think he can make a name for himself at a three technique, at a five technique, or at least an under kind of look. He can definitely play standing up as well, but I think it's going to be that if Ford's back or if Tano is learning the defense enough that he's going to get the majority of the snaps, speaks inside with Jones is going to give you another pass rusher in a set where you can line them up, you know, four across with your two linebackers and have four dedicated pass rushers. And that's something that I think will pay off for them, even if he can't get in the lineup right away at outside linebacker where he would have to drop and do some things like that.
Well, yeah, and he's going to be a guy that obviously is going to be on the field at different times at different positions, even if he's not as a outside linebacker. I do believe that, like you said, he's going to be coming in on rush situations and he really help in that regard. So I'm looking forward to that. When it comes to the rest of the defensive line, you know, Nottie, Jenkins, Jones, you know, you have Alan Bailey, you have Xavier Williams. I think all those guys are on the team. What do you think about D-liner? Obviously it's a little too early.
Sure.
To anoint him a presence on the team, but I think he has a decent shot because defensive line is a place that I think Kansas City still needs help.
Yeah, and you know, that's – or at least depth.
Right, yeah, I'm not talking starting type help, but yeah, depth for sure.
Yeah, and everything that we heard out of the offseason workouts was very positive on him. And he's not a guy that I think is really – popped his head above the water much in terms of what fans have seen to this point. But you're talking about a group that really boils down to, you know, Bailey and Jones as your ends, Williams as your starting nose, and then Nottie, I would think, would be his backup is the way I feel that they'll start week one. And that's, you know, that's not a whole lot of guys. That's four rotational players. You have Jenkins. Okay, he's got experience. He knows the defense. He is 30 years old, which, by the way, Alan Bailey's 29 at this point. So that's an interesting one. But you look at the rest of the backups, and you're talking about Stephon Charles is a 30-year-old dude. I don't know that he's going to make a big push. Justin Hamilton has been here, 2 years on the practice squad or something like that? He is young, but I don't see him making progress. Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
He is young, but I don't see him making a whole lot of progress. And T.Y. McGill, kind of the same thing. So I think there's an opportunity for D-liner if he can get himself in a place where he can make plays. And that's really what it comes down to. I don't really think that he's another two-gapping nose tackle type. Like, he's got to beat his man and make plays in the backfield, either tackles for loss or in the pass game. I think if he does that, he could be that guy that lands on the roster.
Well, and that's what they need. They need those, again, backup I guess really is the right word for it, but they need those types of players because they're going to need depth and cheap depth for that matter, because they're going to be up against the salary cap for the next couple of years. Wouldn't they give some people some extensions that are coming?
Yeah. You know, it's another thing. This is a position group in particular that I think in training camp, we talked about Brett Veach and his aggression last week, but it bears repeating that he's continuing to be aggressive at building the roster. And I mean the roster all the way down to 53. So I think if he sees either someone around the league that gets cut, or, you know, hears through the grapevine that someone else had a good offseason workout and hasn't signed somewhere, I expect him to bring somebody else at the D-line position to give them another option there. Because I do think they're still a little bit thin in terms of how they can get through the season. You got to think they have to keep five, but even if they do, I could see an acquisition of some kind, either at cutdowns or even another trade that could fill in and bolster that particular position group.
I agree. I think there's still a lot of question marks at several different position groups that we will have to discuss over the coming months. And obviously, we're not going to know a ton until we get into training camp and see how players perform.
Yeah.
But let's take another quick break, and then I have something to throw at you that we hadn't even thought about discussing yet.
Oh, okay.
All right. So one of the things that I saw last week, and from right now at least, it appears like it was unsubstantiated, and maybe it's not even going to be true. But I'm curious. We saw Brett Veach make moves to go get a guy like Reggie Ragland and another guy in Cameron Irving last year. How would you feel if for some reason Josh Garnett was available?
You know, I was not a fan of his for this offense when he came out. I think he is more of a mauler type. I think that's what he's best at. I have not reviewed his film in the league. He is a guy that actually got taken pretty high by that Niners administration at the time. I don't know. Do you feel it's something worth investigating?
I do, just because I think that he has talent. It's a question whether or not there's a fit for him, and I'm not sure if there is or not. But, you know, for a fifth-round pick, if he was to be available, I would consider it for a fifth-round pick. I would think he could be able to step in and play left guard. I understand he's a mauler, but you know, that's not a bad thing to have in this offensive line. They made it work with Zach Fulton in the past.
That's true. And that's honestly, I see them as similar players. I do see Garnett much like Fulton. Fulton proved to be at least serviceable. I mean, they let him go because he's not a perfect fit.
Well, and they weren't going to pay him what he got paid either.
Sure. But you're right. If he can be had for a song, if he can be had the way for what was a really reasonable compensation for Cam Irving, even though Cam Irving hasn't turned into a starter, which you would hope, but you know, they don't always work out that way. But you're right. But he's a viable guy with starting experience that can at least come in there and push guys around. And even though he may not be a perfect fit, he might be better than what they have, because at this point we haven't seen enough of Parker Iyengar to know whether he's really back and a guy that you can project into that role. And we all know what Whitman can and can't do. I think Whitman is still better as the swing tackle. So maybe it's worth trying.
Well, and I also look at it and wonder if it's worth the shot, just because if you look at what it would do depth wise, it basically pushes Iyengar either down or pushes him to play better and actually start. And then you have Garnett as your backup, and that gives you two very good backups. It kicks Jordan Devy off the roster, and it also pushes your pick in McKenzie down to where he doesn't have to play at all. And I still don't think he's going to end up on the practice squad, because I don't think anybody's going to – I don't think they're going to risk having him on the practice squad.
But, so you think he makes this roster?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that is definitely interesting, and it plays into what Brett Veach has done. You know, it's all about is the rumor that because of the other guard's extension, Lakin Tomlinson, does that really put Garnett on the watch list. I guess we'll see. They have the history with the Niners that certainly I would think the door is open to at least having a conversation about it. And it would be that kind of a Vici kind of thing to go get a high draft pick that didn't work out at his initial team and try to see if he can squeeze him and make it work here. So it's the mold.
Yeah, I just thought it was an interesting thought. I liked Garnett coming out, and I thought that he could fit well for Kansas City, but obviously he hasn't necessarily worked out. And like I said, it has not been verified, so it's possible that what we heard was just something that somebody was guessing, and that's not really going to end up happening, and that's okay. I just thought it was an interesting topic because it's definitely a position that you have wanted to upgrade.
Yeah, for sure. And you're right. Even if it's not, legit happening now, it's the kind of thing that we know Brett Veach would look at doing. So,
well, any other, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, that's certainly plausible. And I hadn't even thought of it, to tell you the truth.
Well, and the other thing for me is that you look at, what, and I'm trying to remember, when did Garnett come out? I can't remember the year he came out.
Oh, off the top of my head, I want to say it was 15, but I will have to go check now.
Okay, so if he came out in 15, that means that I'm just trying to figure out he'd have, what, two more years left? So 16, 17. He'd still have 2 years left on his contract before you have to make any kind of decision.
I lied. It was 16. He has two seasons. So you have him under contract for 18, 19, and then you would have the fifth year because he was a first round pick, number 28 overall.
There you go.
So yeah, that's definitely, if they feel like he's not going to work out, then yeah, maybe that's worth going. And maybe we can get somebody we know to do a quick look at his film with the Niners.
Well, I think we'll go down that path if he ends up getting traded to Kansas City, but I think it was Ted Wynn came out and said that he hasn't heard anything about that. I just thought it was an interesting thought. And I don't know whether or not, like I said, if it's even plausible or not, but it would be an way to upgrade the roster. And if you could get it done, I would even say that if you could get it done, I would consider going up to a fourth round pick, because if you can get it done right now, he has all of training camp to get in and get the offense down. And I think that's well worth the extra roundup.
Well, I think you need to be calling Brett there. So good job.
Well, whether or not they're even looking at offensive linemen, who knows?
That's true. But I guess we'll find out. We'll definitely keep an eye on Garnett. So I think that's enough for Monday show, folks. Hope you guys had a good weekend and enjoyed this one. Definitely we'll have guesting Cody Tapp from 810 Sports. He was going to join us. I'm not sure what day that'll air, but we'll find out soon. Seth will be back here tomorrow, I believe. So keep it here. Thanks for listening through this summertime. We know you're ready for football, so are we, but we appreciate your time, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.